You'll be turning with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 will be our scripture reading this morning. 1 John 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 will be reading from the King James Version. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And speaking with many about sin, I'm sure you've heard it, you may have even used certain terms yourself, making some sins out to be big sins, some sins out to be little sins. Some sins are greater than these, and some sins are less than these. Well, friends, is that the right mindset? Are there such things as big sins and little sins? Let's study God's Word together this morning to answer that question. First of all, let's ask the question, what is sin? We just read the biblical definition. Sin is a transgression of the law. The word that's translated sin is translated from a word that literally means missing the mark. The idea of sorts is of a target, an archer's target there. You've got that big red bullseye and you're letting an arrow fly, and when you miss that bullseye, you've missed the mark. You've transgressed, is the idea. Sin also means an act of disobedience to divine law. And it is the most generic term for deviancy from God's divine will. Sin. Other words that we find in God's Word to describe sin are transgression. We just read it in 1 John 3 and verse 4. It means to go beyond, to overstep. In other words, you have a boundary and you've gone beyond that boundary. Trespass. We know what the word trespass means. You go by somebody's house all the time and you see that big sign there on a tree or on a fence. No trespassing. Don't come on my property, in other words. Trespass means a false step or blunder. A fall beside, deviation from uprightness or truth. The idea is given in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Another word for sin is iniquity. The word iniquity literally means without law, wickedness, or defiance of God's laws. Idea given in Matthew 7, verse 23. You have the word for sin, ungodliness. Ungodliness simply means disrespect for God's person. Then you have unrighteousness. Unrighteousness meaning deceit, disregard to justice. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. And yet, one more word for sin is disobedience. Simply put, neglect or carelessness or disregard. All words denoting sin. What is sin? Sin is transgression of God's divine will. What causes sin? Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to begin reading here in just a moment in verse 12. What causes sin? You know, a lot of times someone may do something. The old comedian Flip Wilson was famous for the line, "The devil made me do it," right? The devil made me do it. Friends, I want us to notice what God's Word says on the matter of sin and what causes it. What causes one to sin? And as we read this, let me ask this question before we get into it. Did Satan physically force Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Didn't make her. Let's notice what caused sin. Beginning in verse 12 in James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Verse 16 simply says, do not err, my beloved brethren. What causes sin? Well, as we look at this particular passage, we see in verse 13 that man is, or verse 14, man is tempted when he is, number one, drawn away of his own lust. He sees something, he wants that, and so he's drawn toward that. That lust, when we allow it to linger, results then in temptation. He's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, friends, notice here that temptation is not sin. There's a difference. Was Jesus tempted? Absolutely. Jesus was tempted. We're told as much. Did he sin? No. Temptation is not sin. But sin happens when one is drawn away, is tempted of his own lust. He allows that to linger. He is then enticed. He's baited. He goes after that. What do you do when you go fishing? Outdoorsmen, fishermen, you use a lure, you use bait to entice your prey. The same thing with trappers. Or even in Texas, it's illegal to bait in Tennessee, but you can bait in Texas. With hunters, you're enticing the animal to come to a certain area, and what are you doing? You're enticing him to his demise. That's the idea of sin. You're drawn away of your own lust. That causes one to go after. And when sin, when it's finished, when one has actually succumbed to the temptation, it brings forth death. That's what causes sin. So what's the consequence? What's the consequence of sin? In Genesis chapter 3, 22 through 24, we see that sin causes separation. God had told Adam and Eve that in the day that they ate of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, that they would be separated from the tree of life at that point. That they would be, that would result in death. So we see there in Genesis 3, 22-24, that they are separated, they are cast out of the garden and separated from the tree of life. We see as well that sin causes the spotting of one's spiritual garments. We read in Ephesians 5, 25-26 that we are to be washed of water by the Word. Speaking of Jesus Christ there, friends, if there's no need of washing, you see, cause spotting of our spiritual garments. If our garments aren't spotted, why the need for wash? In James 1 and verse 27, we see that pure and undefiled religion is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The end of the verse says, unspotted. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 12 through 14, we read there of some very evil people, and he refers to them as spots and blemishes. Spots and blemishes upon one's garments. That's what sin causes. Most of all, friends, we see separation from God. I want you to turn with me very quickly to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. We've seen what sin is, what causes sin, what's the consequence. Friends, sin causes separation from the God of heaven. Notice with me Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But notice verse 2. Why is the Lord not helping us? Why is the Lord not hearing us? Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin separates us from our Father in heaven. Friends, when one hears Depart from me, I never knew you. To be separated from God for all eternity. That's a separation, or that's a consequence rather of sin. To be separated from God. And it's not Him. He hasn't moved one bit. But it is we that move from Him. Another consequence of sin, friends, is found in Romans 6, 16 through 20. I want you to turn with me there as well. Romans 6, beginning in verse 16. A consequence of sin is to be a slave to sin. Notice with me, beginning in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Friends, do we see the slavery that sin holds over a person? If one wants to be free from sin, one must become the servant then of righteousness, because he's a servant under that which he obeys. What will it be? And then, friends, we see that a consequence of sin is not only a separation from God, but a spiritual death as well. A spiritual death. And Romans 6 and verse 23, they're in that same chapter, if you'll drop down to the end of the chapter. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Friends, when we think about the language that Paul uses there, it's something that really ought to hit home with us. If we do a certain amount of work for a certain person during a set time, we expect a wage at the end of that time, right? And we expect that wage to be given to us for work that we've done. Friends, again, notice the language that Paul uses. The wages of sin is death. One that continues in sin, one that continually serves sin, what is going to be his reward? Death. Eternal separation from God. So we've seen what sin is, what causes sin, the consequences of sin. So what about categorizing sin? Are there big or little sins? We notice in Genesis chapter 2 that God created Adam and Eve in His image. Gave them dominion over all the earth. He gave them one law. Do not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In chapter 3, we see the sly serpent coming in. He gives feeds Eve a line. She takes of that fruit. She's deceived. But I want you to notice there, if you remember the account in Genesis chapter 3, it says that Eve took the fruit after she had eaten of it and gave to her husband. Where was Adam? Was he all the way on the other side of the garden? What was Adam doing? Where was he? It says that Eve gave to her husband with her. First Timothy 2:11 through 14, we see there that Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. So let me ask you this, friends. Who committed the worst sin? The husband that stood by and allowed his wife to be deceived and to eat of that fruit? Or the woman that was actually deceived and ate of the fruit? Friends, they both sinned. They were both cast out of the garden. Adam had to go to work and keep the land for the rest of his life. Eve had to suffer pain and childbearing and submit herself unto her husband. They both sinned. One was not worse than the other. We see no categorization there. What about Cain? We read of Cain, and we know that he perverted his worship. God did not see that the sacrifice of fruits and vegetables were as he had commanded, and so he had respect to Abel, who offered a lamb, did not have respect to Cain. Cain got angry, rose up, and slew his brother. Which sin was worse, perverting the worship or killing his brother? We don't see any categorization with God, do we? What about Moses and Aaron in Numbers chapter 20? 7 through 12. Let's turn over there real quick. Numbers chapter 20. Beginning in verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Now, friends, as we look at that, who committed the worst sin? Aaron as he stood by, or Moses as he struck the rock? They were both punished. They were both kept from entering into the promised land. No categorization with God. We see the Israelites murmuring in Numbers 21, 4 through 9. How many of them had to stay in the wilderness? All of them. I'm sure some had worse things to say than others, but they all had to stay and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. What about Achan in Joshua chapter 7? Not a big deal, was it? Just take some clothes, a little gold and a little silver, buried in my tent. What about his family? What did they do? Friends, don't you think they most, we're not told, but don't you think they most likely noticed that there was some fresh dug dirt in their tent? And yet nothing was said. Whose sin was worse? No categorization with God. What Uzzah, 2 Samuel 6, all he was trying to do was steady the ark to keep it from falling off the ox cart. It's not a big deal, right? What was God's command? Don't touch it. What about David? 2 Samuel 11. Commits adultery and then murder. 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21, we have therefore recorded for us there that David numbered the people even against God's wishes. Which was worse? David suffered for both. No categorization with God. What about Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira. conspired together to sell their land and to give a portion of the money to the apostles. Nothing wrong with that, right? Giving a portion to the apostles, nothing wrong with that. What was there? Lying about it. They gave a portion and said it's all. And friends, they were struck down for lying. For lying. For something that many of us might refer to as a little white lie. It's not going to hurt anybody. Cost them their lives. Friends, the bottom line is God doesn't see big sins and little sins. He simply sees sin. Doesn't matter what we may categorize them. It doesn't matter that we may say that this is worse than that. And to emphasize that point, I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, I want you to notice with me verse 8. I want you to notice all these that are mentioned together. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, friends, as we look at that list, are there not some of these that you and I might classify as being worse than others? I mean, for the most part, would we ever classify a liar up there with a murderer? Does God? Yeah. Would we ever say someone that has sex outside of marriage is as bad as someone that was a murderer or worshipped an idol? Not in today's society. Does God? Friends, notice that every one of these people, and it goes beyond just the specific things that are mentioned here, but everyone that participates in being fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, they will all suffer an eternal damnation. There is no big sin or little sin. There's just sin. And friends, I hope that we have a better understanding of that. And friends, if we understand that, let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. We'll begin in verse 15 here in just a moment. Let's understand something, and we'll read Matthew 18, 15 to 20. If little sins are non-existent, and they are, we've just established that. Little sins are non-existent. There's no such thing as big sin and little sin. There's just sin. Then, friends, we need to understand that every known sin is ultimately subject to cause a sinner to be withdrawn from this fellowship. Notice with me Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Friends, what do we see taking place in Matthew 18? What type of sin is the focus of this text? Private. Something has happened between one brother and another. And yet, when the person refuses to repent, what's the thrust of the text? To bring about repentance. When one refuses to repent, what ultimately takes place? Fellowship is withdrawn. There's no big sin or little sin. There's just sin. And when one refuses to repent of sin, that's what happens, ultimately. Withdrawal of fellowship only takes place after every reasonable effort to bring about repentance has failed. Thus, friends, we realize that we do not withdraw fellowship because a brother sins, but because he refuses to repent of that sin. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Are there such things as big and little sins? Friends, the answer to that, according to God's Word, according to the Bible, is a resounding no. There is no such thing as little sins. There's just sin. So, friend, our question for you this morning is, do you have sin in your life? And friend, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then absolutely, you have sin in your life because you've yet to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Your garments are still spotted. Would you be washed this morning? Would you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He bled and died for you? That He came to this earth? He lived, suffered, and died for the remission of your sins. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If your answer to that question is yes, friend, are you willing to repent? Put those things behind you. Give your life over to Christ. Confess Him then before men and be baptized, immersed in water. Come in contact with His blood and be washed of your sins so that He can make you white as snow. Would you do that this morning? Are you here? Having done those things sometime in the past, friend, do you now even have sin in your life once more? Would you repent? Would you come home? Friend, if you have a need, come now while we stand and while we sing.